Good evening, everybody. Where's my grandfather, Alav Shalom? Boy, it's cold out there. Okay. I changed the subject three times today. Three times. When the Yehudim came out of Mitzrayim, they were a very high level of emunah and bitachon. They had spent many years in servitude, only to witness some outstanding miracles, fantastically unnatural events, openly showing the power of Hashem. And they started when Moshe came with Vayamin Ha'am, the people believed. Moshe doubted, Hein lo yaminu li, they won't believe me. And Hashem tells them, Ma'aminim ben Ma'aminim, they're believers, the sons of believers. And when they finally passed through the sea, we have Vayaminu Ba'Hashem Moshe Avdo. And the Pasuk says, Yisrael betach Ba'Hashem. Yisrael trusts God. This situation, this level of trust, was developed over time. And it was developed in steps. And the bitachon aspect reached the peak when they left Mitzrayim in a hurry, approximately 3 million people, with hardly any food at all. Not to go to a mall with a food court or to a restaurant row in Miami Beach. They were going to the desert. Rashi, quoting Chazal, Magid Shebachan Shivchan Shisrael. Pasuk tells us the praise of Israel. Shelo amru, they did not say, Heach mitzel midbar b'lo seda, how are we going to go out to a desert without provisions? They did not say that. You absolutely speak. I take attention. Guilty. Ela he'eminu v'alchu, they believed and they went. As it says in Yirmiyah, the prophet, Zachati lach chesed me'ulayich. I remember the kindness, chesed, of your youth. Avat lulatayich lechtech aharai b'midbar. You're going out after me, following me into the desert, eretz lo zeruah, in a land that was not planted. Uma safa mefurat acharav. What reward for such faith and trust? Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Yisrael is sanctified unto Hashem. So now you have these fantastically trusting, believing people. Mishalach paro ta'am. They're going out. Who needs food? Hashem will take care of us. I know you asked this question. This question. You asked this one, you're good. But I know you didn't. You didn't ask this question. If they're so trusting, they're going to go without food, how come the Pasuk tells us, the Hamushim, Alub, and Israel, and the same, they took weapons to fight battles. Now, fighting a battle is an occasional maybe. They might get attacked. They didn't anticipate Amalek. They knew on the other side maybe there's a war to conquer the land, but we could worry about that later. But they, instead of searching for enough food to bring, for a trip of 7, 11, 13 days, which was the original plan. The original plan was very few days. How long would it take them to walk? 7 days, 11 days, all kinds of counts, but certainly not 40 years. They went with no provisions, but they did take arms, not weapons of mass destruction, Chas V'Shalom. A couple of swords and bayonets, maybe. Bachamushim, Alu, B'nai Yisrael, and Ephraim. They took arms, but they didn't take food. Ramban. Lomar ki afapi sheheseb Hashem otan derech hamidbar. In spite of the fact that Hashem led them in a circuitous route. I like that word, circuitous. Did I pronounce it properly? I hope so. Circuitous. That means they didn't go straight, for those of you who speak English. Circuitous route. Hayu yireim. They were fearful. Pen yavo alehem pilishtim. Perhaps the real Palestinians, the Philistines, the other guys made it up, you know, but these guys were really from Philistine, that's where the word comes from. Yoshvei ha'arim ha'kirvo lehem, those that resided in the cities close to them, vayu chalutzim kimo yitzim mechava, they came out armed as if they're going to war, and they're afraid this might happen, even though Hashem took them in a way that they wouldn't confront the baby. So now that we set the stage, what do we learn from all this? They took arms for a maybe war, and they didn't take food for a definite need daily. They trusted in Hashem, they didn't need food, but they did need arms. Do you trust or you don't trust? If you trust, you don't need food, you don't need arms. If you don't trust, you need arms and you need food. But they took arms and no food. Did they trust, don't they trust? You saw it. We get a principle from here. They didn't take provisions because Hashem instructed them not to worry about tomorrow. And yet the fact that they took military arms was no sign at all of any weakness in their bitachon and their trust. It's called hishtadlut, effort, trying, going about things in a natural way. And so we see that a person who involves themselves, or even a nation that involves itself, in natural effort, is no stira, it's no contradiction whatsoever to the fact that they have total trust in Hashem. A person is required to have bitachon, to trust Hashem, and to know that Hashem is in charge of every little thing that happens. And in spite of that, a person still, not as allowed, a person has an obligation to do things naturally. Sorry, NL, you got to go to work tomorrow. You were hoping I'd come up with a different conclusion. I know you don't want to go. But nobody does. Some people love it. Some people are workaholics. They can't get enough. Hashem wants you to trust Him, and He requires you to try. Let me give you another example, not so far off. It's at the end of the parasha. Along comes Amalek, the bad guys. So the bad guys attack, and in a brief few pesukim, we have the whole war from beginning to end, but it starts with Moshe instructing
Yoshua, Behalanu Anashim, get together a militia, get the reserves out, Vitzeh, go out, Hilachem Ba'amalek, and go fight with them. And how do they win the war? Moshe goes up on the mountain, overlooking the sea. He has with him Aharon, and he has with him Hur. Hur is the son of Miriam. It's Moshe's nephew. Hur, that's his name. I can't change it. Chet Vavresh, Hur. By the way, that's the three pillars. Moshe is Torah. Aaron is Avodah, service, prayer. And Hur is the son of Miriam, who's the ultimate chesed. Shifra and Pu'ah, who saved the children. So they go up on the mountain. Moshe gets tired. He sits on a rock. Bayaka Sheyari Moshe Jadav. He raises his hands. The Gavar Yisrael. And the people of Israel start to win. He drops his hands. Kashe Yaniya. Gadol Begavar Amalek. Amalek starts to win. You can see this war goes by his hands, up and down, up and down. So the famous Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, brought in the Gemara on 29a. It's probably even 29a1 near the top. Might be 2. I think it's 1. V'chi yadav shel Moshe, to the hands of Moshe, osot milchama, oshovrot milchama. He lifts and he drops and he lifts and he drops. Does that make a battle or lose a battle? Instead, says the Mishnah, it's coming to tell you. Anytime the Jews looked up towards heaven, he's on the mountain, get the picture. We're down here, he's up there, we look up, we see his hands, wow, we look heavenward. And they subjugate their hearts and minds to the Heavenly Father. Hayumid Gabirim. They started to become victorious and overpowering. The Imlad, when they didn't, I don't know if they're in the south. Same question. You don't get it yet? Stop putting your eyebrows together. I'll tell you the answer. Very simple. The question is, if lifting and dropping of Moshe's hands is going to make the difference, who wins? What does Yahushua have to go out and pick people for? Don't pick anybody. Let him lift and drop his hands. Keep his hands up. Get two guys to prop up his hands. You win. He drops his hands. What does Yahushua got to do with it? And he goes to his whole draft. Can you imagine? No drafts people. Complicated process. Who do you pick? Who do you not pick? Life and death situation. When from there we see, you got to try. You got to go about it in a natural way. And although Hashem ultimately is going to determine the outcome, the human being is not an ask. It's not an option. He's supposed to try and do things in a natural way. Let's see what happens. So even though a person knows, and I always have trouble when I give these kind of classes, this subject, even though a person knows he doesn't accomplish anything, you mean I don't go to work, I go to work, I don't do nothing. You don't do nothing, zero. You're still required to go. Chovot halevavot. Duties of the hearts. I don't think any
English copy says hearts. But levavot is hearts. They always say duties of the heart. But anyhow, I'm not Oscar, I'm not Tovheim. I'm just telling you what the words are. And many people like chovat levavot, the duty of the hearts. But it's never heart. So check your copy home in English.
He says, "Ve'im birur emunato kinyane musar gezerat borehu chayav et galgel lisibot halata bechol atov kinyre lo min ha'inyan darukim yaseh mashikadma bo begezerata." In other words, I know you didn't get that the first time. Even though a person has emuna and knows that all our efforts are subject to the will of God as to what would be the outcome, even though that's true and he does believe, still required to use the means put here on this planet. Don't expect those Bergdorf boots to end up in your closet without working for them. Even though your work does not produce the boots. For example, why eat? Do you have to eat? You're actually required to eat. Hashem wants you to eat to stay healthy. You're required to take care of yourself. Must you wear a seatbelt? Thank you. Yes. Because you have to do what you're supposed to do to take care of yourself. Aye, but the seatbelt's not going to save me. Hashem's going to save me. True. But you have to put on the seatbelt. Listen to your mother. Put on your seatbelt. Your sister also. Okay, good. Seatbelt. Chazon Ish. Min ha-chova la-adam mishtadel b'fuat atmo. It's a duty upon a person to try or put effort into his own health. Kemo shuchar shtadel b'fuat chavero. Just as a person is required to help another get better. V'lachem therefore try and control yourself and don't go after what you'd like to do, but listen to what the doctors tell you to do. V'zo mitzvah gedola shel bikur cholim. It's part of bikur cholim. Now that's one shita. Not bad for 9:30. I did pretty good. A long way to go, but about one third home. Haramban Nachmanides, not Maimonides, very good. Never had a hospital name. Amazing. Ramban says that the person who reaches perfection is one who doesn't get involved in natural means. Surprise. Not that it's not, he doesn't say it's not a duty. In the words of my neighbor, forget about it. Don't even try. It's not necessary. You and I both know it's what Hashem wants going to happen and you got nothing to do with it. Why are you sitting behind the pole? Come on. Don't you like to park the car or something? She's been known to disappear in past classes. Good. Glad my neck hurts. I didn't wonder you didn't see me. What do people in Tape Land, when we have these little breaks in the class, what do they think's happening here?
You have to come 9 o'clock to Shadis, you know, to see what really goes on here. The CD is only part of the action, right?
You could also download on MP3 because they're getting very popular. When we first made the website, you know, I said, we're going to download a class. Now we're song number 9,080. You know, there's about 9,000 songs come ahead of us. But somewhere after 9,000, when people run out of things to download on MP3, they put me on their iPod. So when you see the little white buds in the ear, don't suspect them. Maybe they're listening to a little Torah. Anyhow, Ramban says, "Biyot Yisrael Shelemin." Very famous. This is very famous. This you can memorize. Take notes, because this you can memorize. You're supposed to memorize this. Ki biyot Yisrael Shelemin. Since the people of Israel have perfected themselves, they're perfect. The way Hashem treats them in this world, they are above nature. Not in their bodies and not in the Holy Land of Israel. Not as a group and not as individuals. Hashem lachmam. Hashem blesses their food. Umimehem, and their water. Stuff without the bugs in it. The good water. Polish Springs. The Yasir Mahalamehem. He takes away disease from them. Achelo Itzarechu Larofe. Imagine 1500 a month in your pocket. You don't need a doctor, you only major medical. Throw out the blue card. You don't need it. Lo yitzarechu larofe. Urishtameh baderech midarcher vodka. They don't need medicines. Vikach hayu atzadikim osim bizman nevuah. In the times of prophecy, that's how tzadikim lived. If they did a sin and they became ill, they didn't go to the doctor. They went to the prophet. In other words, they went and said, hey, in the owl. They couldn't get into him, so they went to lower scale prophet. I got this on the tooth in the back, they're over here killing me. I think it might be root canal. And the Navi would tell him what he did wrong. The person made the teshuvah, and no root canal. Goes away. Isn't that great? Wow, what a great system. I pay by the month. It takes me about 3 years to pay for root canal. You either pay by the month or they mortgage your house, one or the other. And they would tell you, it's the molar with the three nerves, you know, that's why it's so much money. But why do they put that rubber thing on your face? Never figure it out. Did you go in it? How do you get in? It's horrible. It's torture. Okay. Now, this is the famous line you should memorize. Because this Ramban is known. Uma helek larofim bebet otse retzon Hashem. What place is there for doctors in the house of those who do Hashem's will? When the deeds of a person finds favor in the eyes of Hashem, no doctor. I was in the hospital visiting someone recently. This is very recent. I don't know if I should even tape this. You know, this is like, I turn up the tape. silly joke. Guy on the elevator, and these two old, it's Maimonides, two Jewish men. The young guy was 85. That's the just to get a feeling for the sense of humor. The young guy was 85, and they get on the elevator, and I'm staying there quietly, and they get on. You want to hear a joke?
He tells him.
Okay. He says, well, there's this doctor. Dr. White. And Dr. White was a very great doctor. And Dr. White went to heaven, and the angel said, sorry, we don't let doctors in here. You got to go over there first. You got to go on trial. So you don't understand, I'm Dr. White. He tells him, oh, you don't understand. You got to wait online, you get on your trial, and if you're good, we let you in. So his friend tells him, that's not such a funny joke. He says, I didn't finish it. Give me a chance. Because it took about 20 minutes to get that one sentence out. Remember, the younger guy was 85. I think the 90-year-old guy was telling the story. So he tells him, I really got to get on that line. So everybody gets on the line. All of a sudden, a guy comes by. He's wearing the green pants with the green shirt with the stethoscope around his neck, the funny thing on his head that looks like a light bulb. And he walks right past the line and through the gate. So Dr. White says, wait a minute. He's a doctor. I'm a doctor. If he can go in, I can go in. He says, that's not a doctor. That's God. He owns the place. He just likes to play doctor once in a while. Doctors think, you know. But you don't need doctors. I tell Rico to take that off. I think I will. It's okay. A little light stuff once in a while. But this path of the Ramban, I have to point out, has been analyzed. And you might say, but it's not true. We don't see it's true. We see Tzaddikim that suffer. We see Rishayim that prosper. We know that famous question. But it turns out that like Hanina ben Dosa, it has to be the people who say Shiviti Hashem Negdi Tamid, which we call Yechidei Segula, very uniquely righteous people. It's Mi'ut Sheba Mi'ut. It's a very, very small percentage of people who could reach that level. But should someone reach that level, no need for doctors. Misilat Yisharim, talking about Zirizut in general. A person who doesn't want to act wisely and wants to subject himself to danger, I guess a daredevil, the times of Mitzilat Yisharim, that's not trusting God. Don't jump out of a plane without a parachute. Say, I know God's going to save me. It's not my day. It's not my time. He's a sinner. The Mashu will say, "Nege the son of Rei Rakshimo." She don't say, "She yishmor haAdam et Atzmo." Shilat Yisharim says clearly, "You got to take care of yourself. Put on your scarf. Don't forget your gloves." Mommy says, "Taking care of yourself is a mitzvah." The Chazon Ish, Baal Mofet, two wondrous acts, said about himself that he's machmir b'shishtadlut. He's stringent with himself to put in effort in all that he does. Kishani la'atmir ni choshevet hishtadlut ha'tiviyut b'mash nogel ha'biriyut. The mitzvah of Chova, I consider it a mitzvah, I consider it a duty. So this brings up, this is a cute question. Yeah. Halakha question. Are you allowed to buy insurance? What's the question? Everybody buys insurance. Are you allowed to buy insurance? Look at it this way. Hashem decides that a person's warehouse is going to burn down. So it seems like Hashem wants the person to lose the value of that warehouse. So the person goes out and buys insurance, and after the warehouse burns down, which is what Hashem wants, they go and collect the money, they don't lose the money. So the question becomes, NL, are you allowed to do that? That's very subversive to the will of Hashem. You never thought of it that way, did you? You didn't think of it that way. Something, if they steal the car, they stole the car. What do I do? Hashem wanted them to steal the car. Now I got to go collect and buy a new car. Does Hashem want the car to be stolen so I can get a new car? Maybe, I don't know. But I bought insurance to undermine the will of Hashem. So they asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked this question. He answered, not only is it not an issur to buy insurance, a person is required to buy insurance. Igrot Moshe, Chelek Dalet, fourth body. Ola Chaim, Siman Kof Yud Aleph. Got it? Don't ask me later. If you don't write it down, I'm not telling you later. Hine la'aniyat dati, says Rav Moshe, according to my humble opinion, im bazeshum chisaron b'tachom b'zashem itbarach. It's not a lacking or a weakness in trusting Hashem when you buy insurance. Tehu pechoyim eschar. It's like any other thing in business. Hadam lorak sherashai. It's not only that a person is permitted. Elagam mechuyav asot eschar v'avodah parasato. A person has to go to work. It's a sur for him to say, if I sit home and do nothing, Hashem will somehow, he knows my address, I'll get everybody's rebates from Chick Shavers for my mistake. They all come to me, 50 cents a piece, times 10 million shavers is $5 million. I don't have to go to work. The postman's going to make a mistake. I'm going to tell you a story that's more fantastic than that, but I still have another 10 minutes to tell the story. The Kach Atzul is Smoch Alanes. But Moshe Feinstein, Gedol Ador, he rules it's a sin, it's Atzul. Count on miracles. Even for those who are worthy of a miracle. Not buying insurance is not bitachon. It's neglect and laziness. The Mesilat Yesharim says, unreasonable fright is forbidden, but reasonable fear is healthy. Now in these times of post 9/11, of terrorism, of laser beams in the eyes of pilots, I love that story. Heard that last week or 2 weeks ago? Pilots landing planes are complaining about laser beams being shot into the cockpit at their eyes. They're trying to blind the pilots as they land. In this age of what's next and who's next and where is it and tsunamis and earthquakes and snowstorms and mudslides, who knows? You still have to get out of bed because maybe the bed will fall through the floor. You never know. Unreasonable fright, forbidden. Reasonable fear, healthy. Ki makom shehezek matsui v'noda, a place where you know there's danger, yesh lishamer. Take care of yourself. That's why you got to wear a seatbelt. Ach makom shehezek noda, but in a place that's relatively safe, don't sit there trembling and making up boogeymen. I saw the boogeyman a few times. I was little. He was there. My mom even believed me when she turned on the lamp, but I saw him. So it turns out that I want to categorize people in two categories. There's a ma'amin. I am a believer. You know what day it is today? You know? I got to quote him. Oh, give me a break then. Okay. I am a believer. I have a dream. Hard to believe 37 years ago, though. That was like yesterday. 37 is like 100, right? Look at the back row over there. What's 37 years, huh? That's double my life, you know? It's only half of mine. Four times you, okay. We're getting younger here. We have a ma'amin, a believer, and we have an anal ma'amin. A non-believer. And the difference between them is very basic. The chovot ha-levavot, that famous duty of the hearts, or hearts of the duties, or duties, whatever we said at the beginning, he lists seven noticeable differences between someone who truly believes and someone who doesn't. I'll run through them quickly. Get out your pencils, cut the light. The one who trusts always accepts his or her condition, good or bad. Sasha? Two. The one who trusts is always happy and calm, because that person knows everything is for one's benefit, even if it don't feel so good. The person who trusts sometimes fails. The whole business could fail. Bankrupt, chapter 7, close up. But that person dusts him or herself off and tries again. A person who trusts the ma'amin, if he or she should earn, this is a hard one. This is like Chafetz Chaim level. If that person earns more than what they need, they give the rest away charitably. They spend it on mitzvot. I know a person who did that. I'm going to tell you number five. I'll tell you a story. Number five is the person chooses a way of earning a living which will not upset his service to Hashem. This Chovot HaLevavot, hundreds of years ago, I knew a man who did this. In fact, he worked for me. So I'm working in this warehouse about, I can't say, it's just too long ago. It's embarrassing. It was a 3-digit address, it's almost that long ago. And we needed somebody to run the back so I could pay more. We had an office and a warehouse combination. I had to run both, and it was getting too taxing. And so your grandpa, my boss, told me, why don't you get somebody to help? So I started looking for somebody to help, and somebody suggested for me, and the man comes to the warehouse for an interview. And I don't know if I was interviewing him or he was interviewing me, this is the perfect guy to run the back room. He's tough. So I interview him, and he asked me a lot of questions. I thought, I'm interviewing him, he's interviewing me. And he gives me his breakdown of how he works. I come exactly on time. Everybody breaks for lunch together. I bring them back exactly on the nose. If you see me reading Tehillim in my lunch hour, you're not allowed to talk to me. All these kinds of rules he gave me. Okay? Thought about it. I said, okay, this is what the job pays. Would you like it? He said, I'll let you know. When? Tuesday. Why Tuesday? Tuesday. Okay. I'll wait till Tuesday. I waited this long. I'll wait another few days. call him up. Tomorrow's Tuesday. You want to talk? He says, no, I'll be there. So he comes in on Tuesday, sits down. Tell him, so what will it be? You're taking the job? You're not. Obviously, you're taking it, right? Because you came here. He said, wait, not so fast. It wasn't so easy. You see, you're in Jersey City, New Jersey. You're not in Manhattan. You're not in Brooklyn. You're in Jersey City, New Jersey. And that's where it was. And this is in the 70s. That's a long time ago. I'm twice as old and I weigh half as much. So he tells me, she didn't say his name, he's such a Sadiq, Allah Shalom. He tells me, you know, I'm going to take the job. I tell him, thank you, welcome aboard, reach out, check his hands. He says, not so fast. I want to tell you, I almost didn't take the job. I tell him, why not? He asked the grandfather, I bet he doesn't remember this. This is a true story. He says, do you know, you don't have a minyan here for mincha? And I can't work in a place where I don't have a minyan for mincha. I can't pray mincha without a minyan. I told him, well, I'm not too well versed, but I think if there is none, you can pray without one. He says, I know, but not so fast. I asked my rabbi, who'd you ask? I asked Rabbi Miller. I said, what did Rabbi Miller say? I listened to all his tapes. He's a great man. What did he say? He said, even if there's no minyan, I should take the job. That was his pesach. I told him, you see, you don't need a minyan. He says, not so fast. I wasn't going to take the job anyhow. But I have one condition, I'll take the job. I timed it. If I make the light, it's 13 minutes away. If I miss the light, it's 14 minutes away. There's a factory that makes plastic bags on the other side of Jersey City. And they have a minyan at such and such, I think it was 12:38. They have a minyan. I have to leave at 12 something to be there at 12 something. And so long as you don't interfere with me going to that minyan, I'll take the job and put down his hands of shame. You got to hire a guy like that, right? He never missed it. But if he was not going to have a minyan, if the job would interfere with his service to Hashem, number 5 on the list, the Ein El Hadu of the Kovot Alevavot, not so fast. I'm not taking that job. And he meant it. Number 6. Just a little side, you know. Better than the joke, right?
Okay.
Dr. White, that's not such a joke. He loves others, and they love him. See, a person who understands Hashem's in charge, he loves others, and they love him. There's nothing between them. You see, what it's the money and the gashmiut that makes separates and differences between people. He loves everybody. And number 7, his main job, this one you can write this down. His main job is to prepare for Olam Haba. That's the big 7 of the Chavot HaLevavot. It's in Shaar HaBitachon, Perek 5. The end of that one.
Habotea be'elokim in yasek v'sibot. If he gets involved in the natural, lo yismok with the ba'alem, he doesn't count on them. Ve'lo yikaveh me'en lo to'elen, he doesn't expect any benefit from them or results. Ve'lo nezek v'li ratzon ha'el, and no harm from them without the will of God. I shared it in a boteh. The other Ige that I was talking about, the one is not boteh. Mitasek b'sibot, he gets involved in natural ways of earning lebitchono aleihem, and he trusts them to yield what he wants. He thinks that's the way. The key is that the boteach, the one who trusts Hashem, clearly knows that although his duty is to try, his or our efforts yields zilch, zero. It's purely a result of the will and desire of Hashem. In the Gemara Kiddushin, the end of the Masechet is a Mishnah. Le'olam Yilamer Adam Beno Ummanut Nikiyah V'Kala. He should teach his son a clean business and an easy business. V'yitpalel Mi She'oseh Ha'oshev Anechasim Shelo. And he should pray to the one to whom wealth and property belongs. Shelo aniyut umanot vashum umanot. Expertise in a trade doesn't bring wealth, and it doesn't bring poverty. Ela kol lefi zechuto. So back to your question that you never asked me. The Hamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yisrael. They didn't take food, they took weapons. Remember that question? It's about an hour ago. But when they got to a place called Refidim, which means Refe Yadayim, weak hands, when they were weak in Torah, Vayavo Amalek, there's no water, there's fighting, there's wars. The weapons that they brought yielded zilch, zero. And it was the hands of Moshe and their sights on heaven that yielded victory. Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem. The principle we learned tonight is trusting Hashem yields good results, and counting on human strength yields failure. I have a couple other little points, but I promise you a good story. This is from Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim min Baghdad. Not like the embedded reporters say it. It's not the name of the city, Baghdad. Sounds like rapper clothes, you know? I wear my Baghdad. This great sage, Mikubal, Chacham, Sadiq, Anav, who knew the Torah, Buria, testifies Ma'aseh. Now sometimes he says, Mashal, when I saw the word Ma'aseh, that means this happened. So get on your believing boots, because it's a hard story to believe. It runs about 3 pages, so I'll try and give it briefly. This is out of his Sefer Od Yosef Chai. מעשה נפלאה אהובה בשעשועים שמנה ידע אדם פלאות השכחתו יתברך יתברך בסבר סיבות. From this story you'll see that only Hashem is in charge of everything. כי בצות Hashem דרכי איש, when Hashem is satisfied and happy, pleased with the ways of a person, with his behavior, שומר כל עצמותיו ישומר ממונו מכך מעבר וחומץ. He protects his property from all evildoers. The Lord, not only that, Elo shafilu imhu nifazero umotziyo miyado,
even if he temporarily takes it away from his possession. Hashem will create wings on the money to make it fly back to its source. Even through far-fetched means, which a person cannot even imagine. And an incident that happened as follows. I wish I could read the whole thing, just like Shona Kodesh, it's like a song. Anyhow, there was a man named Avraham Zager. And his work was woodwork. Cabinets, carvings, tables. And he was very straight and very honest and very successful. And he made a lot of money without lying or cheating or tricking people. And Hashem blessed him. And over the years he collected a nice sum of gold coins. And one day, he had to make a trip. He had to make a trip to a city near his home of Yerushalayim for a wedding. And since he's such an honest, trusting person, he left his house, as it were, exactly as it was the day he was home. And his gold coins were put away in a closet. And everything else is silver and is crystal, just the way it was. No alarm systems, no guy in a car circling the block. Just regular. And his crooked neighbor came and stole the money. Avraham came back and was heartbroken. His life's fortune was missing. Bineza Ganava Niskar, continues the Ben Ishai. This Ganav, this thief, Barach Palaila Mirushalayim Alechet Likvar En Gedi. He was on his way to Ein Gedi. And on the way, he became ill because he had a stroke or heart attack. He fell to the ground and died. With the money under his arm. In the morning, a common villager is going down the road. He's a dead person. Met mitzvah. Ain't no kovri. A dead person, nobody to bury him. So he goes to get involved in the mitzvah burying. And he finds the money. His name is Ephraim. Ephraim finds the money. He says, I'm so fortunate. I got two great benefits today. I got the biggest mitzvah there is, met mitzvah, to bury a person who was abandoned and was nobody to bury him. And I found this treasure. So he took the treasure with him. And he became the new owner, now the third owner, is Abraham the Ger, is the thief and now him. Although the thief is not really an owner because he doesn't really get kinyan when you spit. But I got a halachic here. So he goes home, he falls asleep, and he has a dream, and in the dream Hashem appears to him and says, you will not benefit from that money, it belongs to someone else. Hebrew National, fire thought. Not going to get any pleasure from it. He wakes up in the morning, a little frightened,
but money is a great calming influence. And he said, what a silly dream. And he ignored it.
His father, Ephraim's father, became ill. And since he had to travel to visit his father, who was very close to death, he said, carrying all this money, very heavy. You know what I'll do? I'll hide it. So he goes out to his orchard, and he sees in his orchard quite a large straight tree. However, the tree was hollow. So he puts the money in the hollow tree. He blocks it up solid. You can trust there's nobody going to get into this tree. He hides the money there. And he goes to visit his sick father. His father died. And so now Ephraim, just so you don't get lost, the guy who found the money with the thief and buried the thief, is forced to sit Shiva. And he's sitting Shiva, he's sitting his 7 days. And during that 7 days, a storm, knocking down trees all over town, including the tree with the money in it. But the tree is sealed. Nobody would know. And nobody did find it. But some man came along, a man who sold wood, and he looked at the fallen trees and started his civic duty of helping people with the cleanup. And he saw this big, nice, straight tree. He said, this would bring a nice price in the wood market. So he cut the tree at its base, the fallen tree, loaded it onto his wagon, and went to sell it to a man in woodworking, Avraham the Ger. Avraham the Ger cuts open the tree and finds his money. Not the end of the story. His money came back to him. Ephraim finishes the Shiva. He goes to get his money. The tree is missing. Not the money. The whole tree. How could it be? Not only did I lose the money, he looks around. All his trees are knocked over. My dream, I wouldn't get benefit, and I didn't believe it. Not only did I get benefit, I lost everything. So rather stay in the orchard business, you got to get a job. So he goes to work for Avraham the Ger. Because he's in wood and he's in wood. To make a long story short, Avraham the Ger makes 3 attempts. When he finds out that Ephraim is the one who saved his fortune, he makes 3 attempts to give him the money in 3 different ways. And in each of the ways, it doesn't work. The money comes back to Avraham again. Because Hashem promised the other man would get no benefit from it. Not from his money. But eventually, Ephraim married the boss's daughter. Wouldn't this make a great movie? Written and directed by the Ben Ish Chai. Maaseh Shehaya. Vayehi Ephraim Chatan Avraham. Now he's the son-in-law. Va'ashireu Avraham Mikaspo. He made him wealthy. Ki nasa chatano, because he's the son-in-law. About Antoine, guys. ונמצא כי השם יתברך השכיח בכם לתו על אפרים. Ephraim was a good guy. Hashem took care of him. He kept giving back the money. He kept avoiding taking the money because it wasn't his money, and he knew he had a dream, and so he's not supposed to get benefit from the money. That money he wasn't going to take. Avraham gave it to him willingly. Hashem was for not to have that money. So Hashem gave him different money. כמה דברים יקרים אנו למדים ממעשה הנפלאות הזאת. והתבורר האדם על תוקף עומס השכחה עליונה. A person should pay heed to the precise השכחה, the control of Hashem. איך מנהגת את שוכני ארץ בכלל ופרט. The way he controls those that live on this planet in general and individually. Ve'en chokma, ve'en etza, ve'en tivuna l'neged Hashem. There's nothing you could do to change the will of Hashem. Ki atzat Hashem hitaku. The intention of Hashem will come into being. Ve'chol machashavot adam betelin kinegda. And the thoughts of a person are nullified in the face of the will of God. End of class.